So the first question I'd like to ask everybody, the title of this year is Exercise to Serve God. So what do people think the source is or the reason you should exercise is?
To be healthy to serve Hashem.
To be healthy to serve Hashem, Abba said.
Okay, very good. I see Brian on mute.
Well, I think that's a pretty good answer.
Yeah? Is there perhaps a mitzvah, or do you think it's just, you know, it's a good idea? What do we think?
As an obligation, you mean?
Yeah.
Has anybody ever heard of
the phrase?
Shechem or something?
Right. Mishmaratzev is what the verse is often quoted. So, all right. So we have the two. So I think we basically got all the reasons that I had, to be honest. We got them right away. Very good. Right. So one is based on, well, you have to be healthy in order to serve God. And the other one being, you know, there's this mitzvah of guard your body very well. So are they the same? Are they different? What exactly is that? So for that, so I guess if you have the story sheet, feel free to, from the download for the link, please. If it's not working, let me know. I'm also going to share screen, so that way we'll be able to hopefully be able to do that as well. Okay, so everybody sees here. So we quoted the pasuk, right? V'nishmarta ma'od l'nafshotechem. Right, so that's big for Devarim, right?
Can you make the source sheet a bit bigger? It's hard to read.
Hard to read?
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Read mode. Is this bigger? Better?
Yeah, much better.
Okay. I'm not sure how much bigger I can get it. Hopefully this is big enough. If it's not big enough, I can go back to the Word document and make it like and double the font size. It's not working.
It's good. It's good.
That's good. Okay, great. Just make sure we can read, because people can't read. Well, that kind of defeats the purpose of having sources. So, okay. So here is, right, so this is the context of the pasuk that everybody always quotes. So if we think that this is the source, so the question is, do we think the source says what everybody said, quotes it to mean? So somebody like to read the English? So just some context. So this is talking about, right? So we had just, this is in Parsha Akev, we are about to see the Aseret HaDibrot repeated, and that's where we have this section. So who would like to read this section, right? There's a lot of word in the Hebrew. There's a lot of the words, you know, Hishamer, guard yourself. Right, Hishamer and Nefesh come up a lot here. But the question is, what does it mean? Well, so here's again, these aren't all the Tzokim. I quoted to some of them, and we'll see what we think it means. So Brian, I see you're unmuted. Do you care to read the English, please?
Sure. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes saw, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But make them known unto thy children and thy children's children. 10, the day that thou stoodest before the Lord, thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, assemble me the people, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of form on the day that the Lord spoke unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, even the likeness of anything.
Let me scroll down.
There we go. Okay.
Anything which the, can you see my, here, over here?
Okay, anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee, for the Lord thy God is a devouring fire, a jealous God.
Okay, so does this sound like God is telling us to exercise? That's definitely. What do we think?
No,
right? Most assuredly not, right? He's telling us to take heed of thyself and keep thyself so diligently and not forget to do the mitzvah. And not to forget what you saw at Har Sinai. And not to make the mistake of, because of what you saw at Har Sinai, to try and make idols again, like the, referencing the golden calf.
Sounds like the second parak of the Shema.
Right, it sounds more like that, right? Second parak of the Shema, right? Good. Excellent, Mark, right? So that's what it sounds more like. So the question is, so what's going on? So look, don't worry, there's still another time when the phrase comes up, which is in Joshua. We see the term Bishmart Zebaolo Shotechem, right? So you're like, oh, this time is what we want. But then let's keep. So who'd like to read this one? This one has a personal favorite of worries of Jewish parents in it.
Take good heed. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Else, if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you.
So what's going on here? What's this talking about? So this is Yoshua at the end of his life. He's in his final speech to the Jewish people. What's he telling them not to do? Intermarry, right? What is this talking about? Intermarriage. Don't do intermarriage. It's bad. It's bad. Don't do it. So now what, right? So we have our two verses. They don't seem to say what we think they say at all. So this is a problem. And if you recall the one we've done in previous weeks, these would sound to be, in previous weeks we discussed reasons why you should, reasons against exercise, why it could be bad. And it seems like these line up pretty well. Because, for instance, we have Hanukkah starting, tomorrow night. So, and, you know, one of the things leading up to Hanukkah is the problem of, you know, the Jews being Hellenized and, you know, being more Greek than they are Jewish and making all these mistakes, right? People, like, sometimes, you know, a lot of times the exercise was used to serve idols, right? At the time of the Greeks, right? So the reason why they're called the Olympics isn't because Olympics means a great sporting event. It's because it was dedicated in the name of the mountain of their god. It's Olympus, which is why it's called Olympics. Right, Olympics for Olympus. All right, because that's where the Greeks thought their gods lived, and then they had this whole concept of all of their exercise and everything was for idol worship. So, right, so seemingly here it's like one question is idol worship. That's source one. But source two is like you'll be Hellenized, you'll intermarry, and then you know there goes the Jews. Right, sounds a lot like what happened in the 20th century in America. Right, everybody just became Americanized. We'll think we're much better in Canada, I'm sure. Right, and then you know, and intermarriage rates, you know, went sky high. Right, that's simply how things went. But if that's all there was to say about it, then, well, this would be a very short cheer, and we'd be done, right? So, yes, while there were a lot of emphasis placed on by the Greeks, and at times it was a problem, but that's not quite the full story. Don't worry, we have one more depressing source before we get to the ones that are less depressing, okay? So there is one time where the verse in Dvarim, as well as the phrase "Vishmarte me'ol neshotechem" is quoted. So this is in the Gemara Brachot, right? On the 32nd folio, on the second side. It's talking about interruptions during prayer. Right? When are you allowed and not allowed to interrupt during prayer? So now we're going to go into a story involving a particular chassid. Right, a particularly pious individual, right? The story that happened with him, and don't worry, we'll be talking about we'll be referencing our verses, right? Also worthy of note is that in the Gemara, like the references where we have, you know, like which pasuk is referring to, those weren't necessarily always written to the Gemara. So when it says Bishmar Tembalzhem over here in the Gemara, which we'll see it when the translation in English as well. So there's a debate as to what exactly that was referring to, right? So it could be referring to either of the two verses we had earlier. Okay? But so we're gonna go see what it is, and we'll see the story, and hopefully that'll shed some light or confusion on what we're going for. Okay, so we're gonna be reading the English is the translation by Rav Steinsaltz into English, because it makes the story a little more readable, and going through in the Hebrew would be a little more difficult. Yet we missed some of the good puns, but hopefully it'll still carry on through. All right. So here we are. Everybody can see clearly, I hope. So this one's a little bit long, so I'll take this one, and then when we get to some of the shorter sources, then we'll throw out to the audience to see who'd like to read the ones. Right. So this is one of this is a fun story. So the sages thought there was a related incident involving a particular pious man who was praying while traveling along his path when an officer, hegemon, that's the Hebrew in Aramaic, right? It says hegemon, right? So again, that word sounds familiar because it's now an English word too. Right, so the local ruler came and greeted him. The pious man did not pause from his prayer and did not respond with a greeting. So, question: who here particularly likes chassidut? Because I'll let them say the part that's. I'll be the officer. Who wants to be the chassid? Who's got chassidic roots?
I daven a chabad often.
Daven a chabad often. So good. Yes. So you'll take. So I'll take the part of the officer. You'll take the part of the. Of the chassid, okay? So the officer waited for him until he finished his prayer. After he finished his prayer, the officer said to him, "You good for nothing. You endanger yourself. I could have killed you. Isn't it written in your Torah? Take utmost care and guard yourself diligently," right, which we just quoted above in Deuteronomy. "And it is also written, take therefore good heed unto yourselves." Right, very much so, right? That's Mishmartem Olim Shotechem, also from Deuteronomy. "Why did you ignore the danger to your life? When I greeted you, why did you not respond with a greeting? Were I to sever your head with a sword, who would hold me accountable for your spilled blood?" Okay, your turn.
The pious man said to him, "Wait for me until I will appease you with my words."
He said to him? Okay, oh. So you keep going.
"Oh, had you been standing before a flesh and blood king and your friend came and greeted you, would you return his greeting?"
"No."
And if you would greet him, what would they do to you?"
"They would cut off my head with a sword."
The pious man said to him, "Isn't this a matter of an a fortiori inference? You were standing before a king of flesh and blood of whom your fear is limited because today he is... But today he's here, but tomorrow he's in the grave, would have reacted in this way. I, who was standing and praying before the Supreme King of Kings, the Holy One, blessed be he, who lives and endures for all eternity, all the more so that I could not pause to respond to someone's greeting."
When he heard this, the officer was immediately appeased, and the pious man returned home in peace. So, we have a problem. What's our problem?
You're allowed to greet people between the Perek and Shema.
Right. So that's one thing, right? But here, let's say he was doing Shemona Esrei, right? He was doing the silent prayer, right? So, right? So, the whispering prayer. It's not silent. You're supposed to say the word still. Yeah, the whispering prayer, right? So, like, no interruptions during that. But if it's life-threatening, you do interrupt it, right? Like, you know, if the fire alarm goes off while you're davening, you simply, you know, you pause your davening, you leave the building, go far enough away that way you won't get hit by the building, and then keep davening, right? Like, you're allowed to move if it's actually dangerous. So, like, what's going on here? So also, who makes the argument about you should about guarding your life? Who's the one who offers that argument?
The officer.
Right? The officer does. The Roman, right? So we're all saying, oh, you should exercise. The guard your life is important. The person who said that was a Roman officer. And who's right at the end of the day? How does the story end? Right, who's right? The officer or the chassid?
The chassid.
Right, the chassid was right, right? The chassid, we say the chassid wins their argument. Right, and that's it. So how on earth, if the chassid won the argument, do we wind up quoting the exact verses of the Romans to explain why we should all be exercising? So it's a good question. But before we can get to answer that, let's look at the why we're exercising, and then hopefully, or why there are people who give reasons why you should exercise, and hopefully that we'll be able to, you know, give some insight into why maybe the officer was actually right to a certain degree.
I have one more question about a different source. Yeah. Uvacharta b'chayim. Would that not be relevant?
Right. So uvacharta b'chayim and v'chayim b'hem, right? So they'll come up by pikuach nefesh, by Shabbos. And by
but I'm Kippur. Saying, that, but also, couldn't you interpret it that in order to have a lengthy life and to choose life, you have to exercise your body?
Right. So those verses specifically are used for, let's say, why you can violation of Shabbos or Yom Kippur. Let's say somebody needs to eat on Yom Kippur, why it's okay. Because again, you'll violate this Shabbos or this Yom Tov, but in the future you'll be able to properly, in other times you'll be able to properly celebrate, and that's why it's okay. Right? This is one Shabbos out of the year, or this is one Yom Kippur out of, you know, the many that we'll hopefully all have a chance to sell, you'll have a chance to observe. So again, one day for many, right? That's why for that one. Right? So, and in that context, that's a direct risk, right? As opposed to here, where it's an indirect risk. So perhaps that'll also make a difference, right? Direct versus indirect, right? So in there, it's like, you know, you will definitely die, but exercise is like, if you didn't exercise, like, if you never moved, yes, you'd probably end up, you know, dying from something. But on the other hand, right, how much would you have to do, right? So then, like, and it'd be hard to evaluate every single motion as, like, is this now a life or death one? It just makes for a very hard calculus to live that way, right? If you lived every action of your day, like, is it, will I die or not? Like, you would be a neurotic mess. So, right, so then we can't really live that way. So again, so those are the, you know, the, when it's, you know, life or death situations, like, how you deal with it, but standard everyday life isn't really a life or death situation, thank God. Right. So the question is, so there is that concept of, well, bikuach nefesh. So the question is, so would we say that exercise is bikuach nefesh or not? Right. Because it's in, like, sometimes it is, right? Again, if, like, it could lead to your death, but that's more like, but that's normally not a, that's normally on the larger scale, not on the small scale. So in case you're wondering whether or not you should exercise, and that's recommended. So one of the first people to recommend exercising formally as a good thing for your general health is the Rambam. So we're going to have a couple of quotes from the Rambam to that effect. Okay, so first one we're going to have is from Rambam's Hilchot Dayot, right? So his section on thoughts. Again, translation doesn't work well, but basically his section on giving you advice, general advice. So now here's one section of his advice. Again, it's a fascinating read. I didn't bring it all to you because there's a long list of recommended regimens he has for you. So instead here, I have a excerpt, right? The first one and then the conclusion of the section. But again, it's from 1 to 14. So there's 13 other good ones in the middle that I just, for the sake of time, gotta cut out. Okay, so who mentioned here? I believe my father had mentioned the source before. So I'll see if, are you there? Yeah. So can you read in English the Rambam Hilchot Dayot?
Sure.
Since having a healthy and whole body is from the ways of God, for it is impossible to comprehend or understand something from the knowledge of God if he is sick. Hence, one must distance oneself from things that hurt the body and should practice this activity to strengthen and make him healthy. Whoever sits around and doesn't exercise, even if he eats healthy and takes care of himself as medically recommended all of his days, will be in pain and his strength will weaken.
Okay, so those are some pretty strong endorsements of why you should exercise. Right? Wow. And note, what does Rambam not quote in this section? What is not quoted that you would have expected, that you might have expected? What does he quote or not quote?
He doesn't quote anything, does he?
No, he quotes nothing else. He's simply giving, you know, as if it's common sense, right? He doesn't invoke, you know, like, oh, the Gemara says, the rabbis say, which he often does, or says in a pasuk. He simply says, this is obvious. Good luck doing anything if you're sick in bed. So therefore, don't get sick in bed, right? It's pretty straightforward, right? And that's it. So, case, right? So, right? And in case you're wondering whether or not, so we'll skip this one because it was pretty similar, right? So this is Rambam's Shmona Prakim, where the title business says it all, using your body for one purpose. He goes through explaining how every part of your, you utilize all of your abilities towards the service of God, right? So that can be, you know, that could be, again, that's physical, it's mental, right? It's mentioned here about, you know, eating, drinking, cohabiting, sleeping, waking, moving about, and resting, right? Should be, right, preventative of bodily health. And why do you want to be healthy? Well, in turn, the reason for the latter is that the soul and its agencies may be in sound and perfect condition. So that may readily acquire wisdom, again, morals, and intellectual virtues, all to the end of which may reach the highest goal of his endeavor. Right? So this is Rambam in his commentary on Pirkei Avot. Again, it was originally written in Arabic, hence why I gave it to you in English, because, well, I don't speak Arabic. If you do, that's excellent. And let me know if the translation's any good. Right? So it's, again, similar things, right? Again, he sticks it into Pirkei Avot, but it doesn't really flow. I'm sure many of us have read Pirkei Avot before, and we don't remember seeing anything remotely similar to what the Rambam just quoted when we read the Pirkei Avot, right? We're like, I remember a lot of good sayings, a lot of good advice, but this advice I didn't see, right? Because, right, it's good advice, but it's just not there. So now, okay, so now we're moving into some more philosophical works of the Rambam, right? So now we're going to Mora Nevuchim, Guide of the Perplexed. So this is Rambam's trying to grapple with philosophy. So in general, that you should read Rambam's philosophy. He would tell you not to, which he actually says in the beginning of his introduction, right? If you're not bothered by any of these questions, don't read my book. Just move on with your life and be happy. But if you're already bothered, then, well, you know, you can struggle along with me and we'll see if we can merge what we conclude. So here's an excerpt from it. Again, similar vein to before. So let's start with, let's get down to over here. Okay, so somebody who's a big philosophy buff and wants to read a little bit from here.
I'll do it. Whether an action belongs to this class or not depends on the intention of those who perform it and on the degree of their perfection. For many things are necessary or very useful in the opinion of one person and superfluous in the opinion of another. For example, bodily exercise in its different kinds is necessary for the proper preservation of health in the opinion of him who understands the science of medicine. Writing is considered as very useful by scholars. When people take exercise by playing with the ball, wrestling, stretching out the hands or keeping back the breathing, or do certain things as preparation for writing, shape the pen and get the paper ready, Such actions are more pastimes in the eyes of the ignorant, but the wise do not consider them as unimportant. Useful are such actions as serve a proper purpose, being either necessary or useful for the purpose which is to be attained. This division of man's actions is, as I believe, not open to any objection. For every action is either intended for a certain purpose or is not intended. And if intended for a certain purpose, that purpose may be important or unimportant, is sometimes attained or sometimes missed.
Right. So we can see two people going out playing ball, right? Yes, Brian, you have a question?
No, just unmuting in case I had something to say.
Perfect. Don't worry. So some people could be, you know, could be outside playing ball. Some of them are doing, you know, are doing the right thing, right? And for some people, it's just a pastime. And by pastime, we don't mean like this is a positive thing. This is like they're simply trying to pass the time, right? Not in a positive sense. It's a pastime. It's just like what are you gonna do? You know, you finished work. You've got 3 more hours till bed. You're bored. So let's play a game of hockey, right? So that's one person. But the other person is like, you know, I think it's a good thing. Like, I've got a couple hours now, you know, like, and I'm going to exercise and play hockey now, but I think it'll be good for me, right? So those two different people, those two people might be playing the same game of hockey, but one of them is doing it for a higher purpose, and one of them is just wasting their time. Right. This depends on who they're doing on your thought process and your perspective on doing so. Right. So this also could apply also not just for, you know, for the physical exercise, but also say, you know, like you're if somebody a lot of workplaces nowadays also they have, again, well, now our workplaces are houses, but back when we used to have proper workplaces, not in our homes. And you know, they used to have, you know, they'd have a gym on premises. Right, and then a basketball hoop. Some places are more a tech place. They would, you know, they'd have, you know, gaming system. Right, not right. So some, like, why would they have these things? Because not only physical health is necessary and helpful, but it's also people still need a break. Right, isn't like you've been working hard. You want to, like, you know, get your blood pumping because you've been sitting at a desk all day, and you want a little change of pace, and then you'll get back to work together. Right. So again, that's so if you're using your exercise in that sense, right. So again, that's as Ram has been pretty straightforward the whole way through. Important to be healthy, because that way it's better. You can better serve God and do the rest of the mitzvot. Okay, so I think I cut out for a second there, right? So the purpose is to better that by doing these exercises, by doing exercise, all these activities. If you're doing it for an ultimately better purpose in general, that is preferred. Okay. So now there's one more piece of the Rambam that I'd like us to look at, which will bring us back to what we mentioned before. There's a bit of background here. So this is talking about putting a fence around your roof, right? Based on a verse in Devarim, right? So you are supposed to. Right, you have to put a fence around your roof so people don't fall off and, you know, get injured. Right, fairly straightforward. Right, nowadays we don't have to do so much. We have our nice slanted roofs because nobody's climbing onto those roofs because, like, it's just not usable. Like, it's you're not doing anything out there. But get a flat roof, right, a roof that you intended to use. Like, you had if you have a nice flat roof that you could actually use for things, then this would apply. Okay, so here, right, now we're returning back to Vinishmartev Ovlano Noshotecha. Okay, so who would like to read about the roof?
Yeah, I'll take it. The roof is like every other thing that has danger in itself, and which is possible that a person will make a mistake with it and die. An example is having a pit in one's property. Whether it has water or not, one is obligated to make a wall of 10 tefachim, 32 inches or 80 centimeters around it, or a covering over it, so a person won't fall in it and die. So too, any stumbling block in which there is a danger to life. It is a positive mitzvah to remove it and to guard against it and to be exceedingly cautious about it. As it is written, take care of yourself and guard your life. And if one has not removed the stumbling blocks that bring people to danger, one has canceled a positive commandment and transgressed, do not bring blood guilt.
Okay. So here, right, so now we see the quoting of the guard yourself and guard your soul. Right, so here, right, so this is a different context, right? We expect it to be used, we've seen it used so far in the context of, right, when it was used by the Roman officer telling you to not, right, telling you to protect your life. Here it's also, but now it's being used to explain the reasoning why you have to be careful about dangerous things, right? So this is seemingly a quite different than what you'd have expected, right? But again, the logic is there, just it seems like the verse is taken out of context. But that's fine, because like, again, it still makes sense. And to make things a little more confusing, when we get to, right, so this is where the Rambam brings in the concept of guarding yourself, is don't injure somebody else. So the question that I have for everybody is, why wouldn't Rambam use this verse above? Right? Why use it here, but not use it in the other places that we quoted? Any ideas?
One is doing something as one was refraining from doing something.
Correct. Right? So Rambam thinks that the verse of Hishamar Lecha is only good at preventing, at doing things preventively, but not actively. Right? So to put up a fence so you don't get injured is not the same as actively doing something to stay healthy. They're two separate things. So, right, so you'd have to differentiate between the two. Is it like, you know, this would, this would fall under the, you know, don't walk into a busy street, which fall under the concept of Yishamer Lecha, guard yourself. But why I should, you know, eat healthy and everything else, that's nothing to do with, you know, that's not endangering myself. That's simply it's a good idea to be, you know, able to function, because like that's simply how things work. Right, you got to function in order to live, and that's just how it goes. So, right, and then that makes good sense. So that's the truth that the Rambam differentiates between the two of them, right? On the other hand, the Rambam differentiates between preventative measures versus active measures, right, and thinks that the active measures don't have an actual source in any rabbinic source that he can think of. Right, again, since the logic is definitely there, there's no like concrete source. But whereas for damage, he thinks that there's definitely like preventative damage. He thinks there definitely is that source is there. So now if we're saying what? So moving forward, when is it quoted? So okay, I see the source here is quoted slightly wrong, because that should not be. Those are two different verses. They're cited correctly above, but not correctly here. So when we get to the Shulchan Aruch, right? So he quotes the Rambam, right? Again, this is the very last part of Shulchan Aruch, right? You've gone through the rest of Shulchan Aruch. This is the last, like the last very end. And here's what he has to say about the, you know, putting the fence around your house. So he starts out, he gives the basics about, you know, when you put up fences. And now he's quote similar to what the Rambam had said, he's quoting similar things about endangerment to oneself. Right? So similarly, in the case of any obstacle that is life-threatening, there is a positive commandment to remove it, to guard it, and to be very careful with it. As the verse states, guard it and guard your soul. He does not remove it and he leaves the obstacles that lead to danger, he has nullified a positive commandment and violated, you shall not place blood. So Shachar is quoting the Rambam pretty much straight until this point. Then he continues on something else the Rambam didn't have. That if anyone violates any of these things or just something similar and says, I have placed myself in danger and why do others care about me? Or he says he is not concerned with it, we would give him martyr slashes, which means that the rabbis will be in charge of beating him for being basically for not properly valuing his life. You might not value a life, but you definitely value being in pain. So we're going to make you be in pain so that we stop being stupid. Right? So one who's careful with these will receive a blessing of good. So despite the fact that there's a blessing of good if you were to be follow these proper practices, it seems like there's also the idea that we will actually beat it into you until you agree to something intelligent for yourself. So if you're wondering where there is a source for a little more proactive police force in terms of forcing you to follow the guidelines that are endangering yourself, like, again, why can the police arrest me for jaywalking, right, in a dangerous area or driving dangerously, right? So here's a very good source why they have every right to, you know, to beat you up if you do something, stupid and dangerous, because they're like, yeah, if you say, I'm just injuring myself, they're like, that doesn't matter. Like, you have to, you're a person. We're not going to let you injure yourself, and, like, we're going to stop you from doing that. Again, the lashes aren't meant to be, you know, lasting bodily harm. It's just more for the purpose of pain is a good deterrent. It just is. Again, whether or not you're allowed to modern day, we'll leave that aside. But again, it historically hasn't proven to be a good deterrent. So in case you're wondering, if you're wondering, you know, if that stands up. So then the next source we have, Ramosha Rivkis, right, from Holland, also, right, commenting on the Shulchan Aruch. So he says, he explains it being as being obvious. So would anybody like, who would like to point out the obvious and would like to read it? Or somebody, short one. Volunteers? Okay, I'll take it. So we'll see. We'll let somebody who's been to Spain read the next one then. Okay, so in my humble opinion, it appears the reason that the Torah commanded us to guard ourselves from danger is because God created the world in his kindness to be good for the creation, so that they will recognize God's greatness and serve him by doing the mitzvot in Torah, like it's written in the verse. All who are linked to my name, whom I have created, formed, and made for my glory, to give them reward for their efforts. And someone who endangers himself is as if he is disgusted with the will of his creator and does not want to serve God. So that seems to, so he seems to be doing a slight blend where he's basically on the verse where, even though the Shulchan Aruch had just quoted the Rambam about preventative one, he is also including the reasoning, very similar to the Rambam had used in his being active and is being active about being healthy. So I apologize for the slight time skip, but if we go back in time to roughly contemporaneous with the Rambam, give or take, you know, 30 years, we have the Yad Ramah, Rabbi Meir ben Trudris Halevi Abulafia, who was a rabbi in Spain. I'm sure some people here have been to Spain. And I'm also willing to bet that some people here have, hopefully, bathed in honor of Shabbos. Okay? So why should you go bathing before Shabbos? So he has a very interesting reasoning for why you have to do so. Going to the bathhouse to wash honors Shabbos and holidays. And not only that, it serves to heal your body. And a person is required to try his best to heal his body so that he can learn Torah. Do mitzvot and serve his creator. As it says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. So as opposed to the Rambam, with a direct bifurcation of the two things, right? So the Yad Ramah directly links the two. So as for what he does in terms of how he deals with the fact that the Gemara and Brachot go directly against what he's saying, I'm not entirely sure. But we'll get back to that point, right? And then how are we going to deal with the Gemara? Right? And how are we going to deal with the Pesukim's original context, right? Those questions are still there. So as far as an answer goes, we're not really going to find one. But we'll keep reading the sources and hopefully it'll make a little bit more sense. Okay, so next we have the most right? Why? So next we have this, a response of Tzitzeliezer, Blazer Waldenberg, right, where he's explaining why smoking is forbidden. And he says, quoting the a combination of the Gemara Bava Kamma as well as the Rambam, of why can't you smoke?
What year is this that he said that?
He wrote the year of the Tshuva. I believe it was in the 60s. I can double check. I didn't put the... So the one downside to taking an excerpt is that you didn't you don't have the header where it says what day he wrote it. But I'll look it up after. I think it was around the 60s or the 70s. So this is when, you know, as opposed to people argue, oh, but Moshe Feinstein is okay. And it's like, yeah, Moshe Feinstein wrote that in the 40s when people thought it was still good for your health. So don't quote me that one. I'm sorry. Right? Like, yeah. Like, no quoting him when he's like, when doctors say it's healthy, it's like, yeah, because he relied on the doctors. Oh. And the doctors all changed their minds when everybody realized that the doctors got bought out by tobacco. And they had them redo all their studies. And they're like, yeah, straight up, like, gives you cancer. Like, that's it. Like, you're going to die younger if you smoke. That's it. Like, yeah, it's causative.
Right? Listening to a Shia by Chaim.
Right. So here, right, so...
Chaim Shia.
Right? So Waldenberg is quoting, right, so he quotes the Gemara, and he's very famous for publicizing V'nishmaratem L'nefshotechem, right? He quotes the verse, right? And he says that, right, you have to be very guard and make sure that you're strong, and make sure that you can serve God in to the fullest, right? And he quotes a whole bunch of sources, right, stating how it's important to be healthy, and you can't do things that lead to you not being healthy, because that's just obvious, right? And again, right, and he says that if you do so, not only will it be bad smoking. Of the evils spoken in a different light, and simply adds that besides the harm they do to the body, they also damage to the soul through bittul Torah. Okay, so in case you're wondering what else it links to, this links back to what we mentioned in our first year about the concept of, right, why can't you do certain activities? Because they lead to you not learning Torah properly. So the question, let me give the answer to the question. So what could be going on in terms of the reasoning why we haven't quite solved the psukim, right? Why are we quoting the psukim out of context? Why are we quoting some of the Gemara out of context? What's going on? So I'd like to suggest that what's the reason why it's quoted slightly out of context is because, yes, it's important to be healthy and exercise and do similar activities, but many people who particularly like quoting the process of the Sukkim of Nishmaratim Ma'od Meshotechem and referencing the Gemara Brachim and Brachot are giving their comments a little tongue-in-cheek. Like, yes, you should be healthy. You should take care of yourself. But remember, you shouldn't do it to the point where you stop observing the Torah and Mitzvot. Don't do it to the point where you decide to intermarry because of the nice girl you met when you were at the gym. Don't decide to, you know, make graven idols because you were too busy pumping iron and you realize that, oh, they start saying, like, when they do yoga, they have these nice mantras that are, like, you know, praising all these Hindu and Buddhist deities. Maybe just say them too. It's like, you were more than okay with you exercising, keeping yourself fit. Just do your best not to violate some other pretty serious things in the process, because that's not the point of exercise. Point of exercise is to have a healthy body so you can better live your life and serve God in general. It's not meant to be your free pass to get out of doing Torah Mitzvot. It's like, time to go to shul. But I gotta go for a run, so see you later. It's like, you should have ran before shul or after shul. You didn't have to choose to go for your 45-minute run. It had to be timed exactly during the time when you were supposed to be praying, right? That's not a valid excuse. Right, that's just you're being annoying. It's like, you know, rather, you know, like the high school kid who's like, you know, would say, oh, like, you know, time for shiur. It's like, nah, I gotta play ball. It's a mitzvah, right? And it's like, I mean, yes, but I think you're missing the point. Right, so that's what might be tongue in cheek with going on when we're quoting those sources. So will it go over the head of most of those who's quoted to? Yes, but But there's a lot of the time, like, again, like, hopefully they'll understand this in the greater context of the, we exercise to serve God. In case you're wondering, the person who is the stronger proponent of why you should be healthy in terms of an ability to serve God, and in fact, got in lots of trouble for said position. Sorry for leaving him for last, but it is Rav Kook. Right? Rav Kook is known for having some very interesting positions, as well as the way that he interacted with the secular society, that both gained him great acclaim, as well as great criticism from those around him, both in his life and afterwards. So, in case you're, so first source, again, I guess I'll read the first two lines. Again, I realize we're going over time, so I'll simply be reading them myself. My apologies. So again, so he's talking about how to do about how to repent. So he says repent, and so he says, in over to tshuva. So he says repentance is the healthiest feeling for the soul. A healthy soul and a healthy body will certainly come to the abundance of repentance, and it excites in it the greatest natural pleasure. So apparently. So if you know the healthy soul and healthy body, right? So that is a slogan that you may recognize from Greek literature. If you don't, that's okay. I don't expect anybody here to be well read in Greek or Roman poetry. If you are, happy to talk to you about it at some point. But right, so then like that's what we said about the Greeks, right? They think that you have to have a healthy body and a healthy mind. Right, because in order to serve their gods, and they use that basically that exact phrase. But here, Rav Kook is using it in a different context of saying that's important too. Right, that by being healthy, it'll help you get closer to God, and that just like, and it's an enjoyable sensation. Right, so then he's saying that yeah, you need a healthy soul and a healthy body, and if you don't have those as a prerequisite, like you're not going to be able to do it properly. Like, good luck trying to repent when you're when you're sick, because that's not going to work. You need to have a healthy mind, healthy body, and then you can start approaching the way to repent and get closer to God. But don't worry, this wasn't the most controversial one he said. The most controversial one he had was when he was justifying the non-religious Jews in Israel and why it's okay that they play sports and exercise all day long instead of doing mitzvot. Right, we mentioned before, right, that like that some of the tongue-in-cheek thought. Of that, so here it's all about the hitam lut, right? The exercise. Okay, so I'll read this, and then I believe we'll probably be, and then afterwards I'll open the floor for questions, and right, and if somebody needs to go, they're welcome to. Okay, so So the exercise that the youth of Israel engage in the land of Israel, strengthening their bodies to be strong and mighty children for the sake of the nation, perfects the spiritual power of the supernal Sadigim, who engage in unifications of the holy names to increase the prominence of the spiritual light in the world. The relation of one light cannot stand at all without its fellow. David made a name in the book of Samuel. He actually made God's name according to the Zohar. David was just and charitable to all his people, and Yoav, son of Zeruiah, commanded the army. The two were interdependent. Abner was punished because he made the blood of the youth as foreign. So this is basically, right, so a way to decide a battle between his forces and that of Avner. Sorry, Yoav and Avner, they decided to have the representative battle, which just ended with each person holding their beards and killing each other. So that was like the worst representative battle ever, and just led to the war getting worse. So we don't like blood sport, like don't do that, right? No battle to the death. But when young people engage in sport to strengthen the power and spirit for the sake of the might of the entire nation, that holy service raises God's presence higher and higher, as it is raised by the songs and praises that David, King of Israel, expressed in the book of Psalms. So this is saying that by somebody who's not religious is exercising, and they're doing so because they think it's important to be a strong Jewish people, that is just as valuable as somebody reciting Tehillim. Right? King David, no less, despite reciting the praises for God. So as you probably can imagine, this would get people who it would be very upsetting to some sections of the society who are like, no, like, Again, I'm not going to say which parts of, this, of Israeli society, but you can all fill in the blank. Who think that no, only thing that supports, you know, the religious state of our people is our learning Torah. No, nothing else could possibly do that. So here's Rav Kook saying that's just not true. So by the means of supernal intentions, the inner soul rises. By means of actions that strengthen individuals' bodies for the sake of the all, outer spirituality rises. These two together bring to perfection the arrangement of all holiness, emphasizing the character of the nation in that small phrase upon which all the limbs of the Torah depend. In all your ways, Dohem, behold Rechecha Da'eh. Do not be surprised to find imperfections in the way of life of those who are engaged in physical strength and in all types of earthly might in the nation of Israel. Even the manifestation of the Holy Spirit must come forth in the admixture of drops of uncleanliness from which it was mingled. It grows ever more pure, more holy, and more clear, and redeems itself from its exile, until it comes to a general path of the righteous. A radiant light grows ever brighter until the day is full. So here we have perhaps one of the strongest statements for talking about how by simply exercising, you could actually be doing a mitzvah. And note, this isn't even referring to somebody who's doing it for the purposes of serving God directly. Right? Rav Kook is explaining it even further, to even if you're somebody doing it for the sake of your national strength or for national pride. So all of the athletes who are training for the Olympics, right, or any soldier, anybody who's training for the army, all of them, according to Rav Kook, even if they're not religious, are all in fulfillment of this spiritual endeavor. So it sounds like this is a huge endorsement for why you should exercise, and that is exactly what it is. Of course, that doesn't mean you get to get in trouble because of the seeming equating of exercise and learning of Torah. But he felt that what they were doing was valuable as well, and he felt that this was a worthy thing to say. Okay, so now I guess I'll just do a quick sum up. So again, so we went through the here. I'll scroll up to the top. Okay, so we went through the original sources in the Torah, as well as in Sefer Yehoshua, about where we see the phrase "Vishmartim Olam Mishotechem," and also as well as Ushmar Nafshecha, and we see that there is referring to don't do idol worship, or referring to don't intermarry, which we noted sounds a lot similar to the issues we had with, you know, in the time of the Maccabees leading up to Hanukkah and why everybody was busy trying to get rid of sports back then. And then how in the Gemara Brachot, the person who quotes them is actually the Roman officer. And we're like, how on earth could that be? And then we say the Chassid wins, right? Continues with prayer is the one who's right. And then we went through seeing how the Rambam thinks that doesn't quote it as a verse, but it says it's a common sense idea. And then we see how, but slowly but surely, it morphs into becoming unified. So the question is, and then we see at the end, we got all the way until we got to Rav Kook, who said that not only is it right without any of the modifiers of the holding back, it's just simply exercising for the sake of the Jewish people is a mitzvah, even if you happen to not be necessarily doing all the mitzvah properly in the process.
Why?
What was the question? What was that?
Yeah, so?
Omar, anyway.
Is that Zadie?
10 minutes.
No.
What's the word supernal mean?
What?
The word supernal. It was
in he can hear you.
Oh, supernal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can hear you.
Second. What was that word?
He hears you.
So the Hebrew word, which will here, Sadikim ha'elyonim. It means like the lofty, righteous ones. The supernal is a fancy English word for saying lofty.
I found it very difficult to understand that. I mean, maybe it was the translation from Rav Kook, but I found it was Greek to me.
Oh, it was too flowery? So, okay, so I'll sum up.
I don't know. Yeah.
Right. So again, so this, so right. So Rav Kook wrote in very beautiful Hebrew, which again sometimes It's translated to English, but also in English, even if it's translated well, it's still not English. So basically, he's stating that everything that the, and just like you can serve God by the standard means of doing mitzvot and praising God in standard fashion, also if you exercise the sake of the national strength, which was, you know, what the Chilonim, right, who advocated for a secular state of Jewry were doing, that too has its merits, and is in fact, they're basically doing what Yoav, the model of David and Yoav, right, the spiritual leader as opposed to the military leader, and therefore it is still has merit, and it is a necessary component for the spiritual development of the rest of the country. So, and he says, yes, they have their faults, but it doesn't mean that you should be giving up on them, and they too are doing things that have value, which of course made people upset because it sounded like Rebecca was justifying people being Chilony and not being religious. Which he wasn't doing. He was just saying that better to be religious, just, you know, don't say that they're good for nothing, because they are doing something productive, and would be better if they were also doing other things too. Yes, but that doesn't mean what they're doing has no value and it shouldn't be being done.
That's why I like the Mishlei source. Maybe I'm not interpreting it right, but like when you do sports, or particularly you do sports with, let's say, other fellas at the synagogue, play ball together, there's tremendous bonding that goes on. And then when you're davening or learning with them, and you know them also from, you know, from sports and other endeavors, so it definitely, could build you up spiritually. And so it's not just a physical element to sports. It is a spiritual element that's benefited.
Right. Very good point. I agree. Hopefully someday we'll be able to do that again.
Okay. Fine.
Yes.
So I was going to mention one thing. There's a saying in English, treat your body like a temple. But maybe the Jewish way would be treat your body like you're getting it ready to go into a temple, so that you're not really worshiping your body, but it's a means to an end.
Right.
Okay. Excellent.
Right.
Okay. Now, let me stop the share. Okay. So I think that's basically all that we have for tonight. So
next week.
What? Next week. Yes, next week we'll be discussing, are you allowed to play dreidel? Or actually, are you allowed to gamble at the racetrack? But basically it'll be gambling in halacha. Are you allowed to gamble? Are you allowed to, you know, do sports betting? Are you allowed, and all those other fun things that people that is a billion-dollar industry nowadays. I'd also like to did we do the recording last week about the sports halacha? We did that last week. Yes.
We did it last week. You said you were going to do it again, just in case.
Okay, so we're going to do it again. We'll do it again. Hopefully, okay. So again, okay.